Chris!
Hey, man.
Hey,
how you doing, sir?
So good to see you again, man.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for coming and hanging out.
Oh, of course. God, I'm excited about this band. Mm. It sounds like you guys are just having a ball.
It's a bit of a roller coaster, yeah. Pirate ship roller coaster.
Here we yeah.
go. I'm here for it.
Yeah, right. Okay, tell me, let's start with this guitar.
Okay, so we call this one the Underdog because it has to fight with all of Jake's golden age Gibsons. This is a 1970 Les Paul Custom.
Oh, wow.
Came out of Wales somewhere, and I'm not sure who it belonged to. It's been completely stripped, no paint left.
Oh, yeah.
I found it. I could get the bridge pickup working just in a shitty practice amp at this auction house. And I was just like, I think this guitar is the shit.
Yeah.
And I still think it is. And It's pretty much a Mark Boland vibe, right? Yeah, I was getting that. Maybe someone was a Mick Ronson fan. Or something.
Yeah.
You know, the stripped top as well.
Yeah.
I wish I knew, but I just never seen one with the stripped headstock as well.
Total commitment to the strip.
Just take the whole good thing off. But it's there's a few changes, pickup rings and shit like that, but pickups are original.
Oh, wow.
Both the volume pots died on me, but everything else, I added the Bigsby, and that's it. It just came out. You know, so microphonic.
How do you like the Bigsby?
I love the Bigsby.
Yeah.
I messaged you about it.
Yeah.
Like, should I do the Bigsby on the Les Paul? Is it a thing? You know? They're kind of amazing. I've always played Gretsches and Nationals.
Yeah.
It's kind of been a big piece of my sort of playing, especially
sure.
the Gretsch thing. And there's always an acoustic quality and a sustain and a nuance.
Yeah.
And I'd never done that on a sort of solid body. But it's amazing. It does add another dimension. I don't want to set the internet on fire, but arguably more sustain, harmonics change,
sure.
like, and I use a thumb pick, so that sort of nuance, I don't know, it just does something with
yeah.
the Les Paul, it does something with the Les Paul, I love it.
Very yeah. cool. So is this kind of, in this configuration, is this sort of your main
This and the Strat, they're both kind of joint number ones, but
yeah.
this is a guitar, you know, we spent a long time with Jake, because his number one, his beloved, is such a specific sounding guitar.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot of mid-range, it's for open, and it's harsh and sort of attacks.
Yeah, that 61
yeah.
SG Les
Paul. So it was really like, okay, what can we find to fit sort of like folded feathers around that sound?
Yeah.
He can't get away from, you know, and the Les Paul, this was kind of sat, you know, if it feels like gold, and Raider, this guitar kind of did the thing that it needed to do, just sat just right around his guitar, you know.
That's a unique challenge that both you guys are facing, because usually you're both the only guitarists, and you
yeah.
can fill all that space, and now you're kind of working
It's
together.
A challenge,
yeah.
the lone gunslinger thing.
Yeah.
It's much easier when you get to hang out on your own and just do whatever you want, whenever
yeah.
you want. And
right.
No, it was the thing, we studied, like, we looked at quite a lot of rock and roll bands, tried to work out what they'd done in the past. It's rare to have two kind of lead vocals as well.
Right.
But it was really, I was sort of tone questing to
yeah.
find, like the Holy Grail, to find the right guitars I could trade for or whatever, to work around that.
Yeah.
And this was the first one that kind of made sense, you know.
God, yeah. I love it, man. That is very you.
It's cool. I dig it. Yeah, it's
yeah.
very cool.
Okay, you know, look, even the volute, it looks like
they might have
shaved it down.
They might have, and the neck, it kind of feels like a 59 profile, and it gets fat, like almost a 50s thing, but without a V. It's a weird, and it was about 9 pounds, and like an idiot, I added the Bigsby, which made it about 10, so
yeah.
it's carrying some Christmas weight, but
yeah.
it's...
Yeah,
you know,
well,
it's
young
fighting.
And strong.
Yeah, thanks. So they tell me. Yeah,
yeah
okay. She's a beaut.
That is great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, let's look at the next.
So this is the next one. This is the other sort of main guitar that I used on a bunch of the record. It's a 66 Strat that Jake has coined Quicksilver.
Oh,
and
wow.
I can't shake it now. So it's
yeah.
a 66, but it's a refin by a guy called Clive Brown. So you'd never know
yeah.
that it wasn't original. It's got this fire mist silver thing going on, which is
oh, love
kind
it.
Of incredible under the lights. And then my good friend Matt put together these pickups. It didn't have any pickups in it either. So these are house tone pickups. Mm. Interesting set that he sort of helped me wire and couture to this guitar.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a 66, so it's the Hendrix thing.
Love the big
yeah.
headstock. That's great.
A huge fan of Richard Thompson, and I was
oh got, sure
got to hang out and talk with him for a bit. And he
really
he said he had a 66 that was one of his favorites. So that kind of sealed the deal that I needed to trade everything I own and try and find a way
right.
into this guitar.
Oh yeah, but, man, Bee's Wing, right?
Yeah.
Oh god.
That, yeah, just his guitar playing in Fairport, just obsessed. So
yeah, everything about that dude.
Yeah,
he's musical.
He is incredible. And so
Well, I'm sort of shocked you don't have the whammy bar in it, because you're such a, that is such a big part of...
I wouldn't know what to do with it on Strat for some reason. It's already so complicated down here.
Yeah,
it's all
right.
Bunched together. I don't know. No, I've left it kind of, I don't know. It's kind of the Strat is kind of the British folk guitar in some ways. You know, all those guys, they would all pick up the Strat, and that was the sound of the British folk revival for whatever reason. It was oddly the Strat, you know.
Well, interestingly enough, I remember hearing Mark Knopfler say years ago, he said, when he transitioned from acoustic to electric, he said the Strat felt
interesting.
It felt a lot like playing an acoustic for him anyway. So
yeah, I get it.
I mean, if Mark Knopfler says it,
I'll take it. Yeah.
And I think '66 is the first year of the big headstock.
Big headstock, yeah, which is the thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I have been smashing this against Mikey cymbals quite a lot. But,
good
you know,
for
that's
you.
Rock and roll.
Yeah,
what I do.
Good for you.
I wish I knew where it came from. There's like, you know, no finish left on anything, and the pickups as well, you know, we're trying to work towards that sort of 59 style, which I think was Richard Thompson initially had that maple board, 59, 58. So these are, Matt suggested doing those 59 style pickups and, you know, the bridge and the neck. And then in the middle, we went for a gray bobbin 60s thing.
Oh, cool.
Which creates this really interesting out of phase sound and just a little different.
So are these proper single coils?
Yeah. They make a lot of noise.
No, I mean, you had a loud rig. Is a 60 cycle thing get away from you, or is that?
It's electricity, man. It's fun. It's supposed to make that noise. You know.
Good.
You know.
It's part of part of the sound.
This is not a silent stage,
right?
By any means.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, lean into it. Yeah, cool, man. Cool.
But it's a good one. It might be Swamp Ash as well. We're not sure.
You know, these
it could
old
be
guitars,
Swamp Ash.
It's like archaeology.
Yeah. Don't... No one knows. You know.
And with Leo back in the day, I mean. I think there were times he just used whatever
he
would
get his hands on. Yeah.
I mean, like there's some mahogany Strats and there's like whatever he could find.
Geosonics and shit that are made of mahogany stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just whatever. But it's a good one. I found, you know, old Strats, they're expensive and they're hard to find in the UK. And this one, for whatever reason, just it spoke to me. And it's, it's
so
a
did
cool
you
one,
get it in the UK?
Yeah. This came from ATB. Good old David and Mike of ATB Guitars. Thank you for helping get this thing together. It's it's been a beaut.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to go through your pedal board and your amps and kind of hear them all, but should we just hear a little bit now? Yeah, I want to hear just a little bit of the thing now.
Sure. Okay.
Just give me whatevs.
This is kind of where the Strat lives.
Yeah.
Should I hit some pedals yet, or should I just?
Yeah, go nuts. Get the sound, the Strat sound you've been using.
You know, this is, let me go down to D. So I'll use this for Roving Blade. And Skyway Drifter, and it does a few different things. So the first is kind of more in the British folk realm, you know, this kind of. Pretty cool.
That is great. And man, you're a great guitar
player. I'm biased, man.
I love the way you approach it. That is just great guitar
playing. Oh, thank you. Well, I just love, that's been fun working out this rig and working that stuff out. And Skyway Drifter is another one, you know, I'm sort of still flirting. I, you know, got to see Clapton recently and he was always in the middle position. I was like, how are you doing that? But I'm still trying to learn, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Oh,
it's
God,
cool
that
guitar.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at another one. The Gretsch, Black Falcon?
Silver, I think, strictly speaking,
oh.
But I'm not really sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, this is, I have a White Falcon that I'm in love with. They're fascinating instruments. You can play it like a fucking, like a Martin D28 or something live.
Right.
You can run the volumes really low, and it's just been an incredible guitar to tour with. And I took it out in the first Mirador run, and Jake gave me so much grief because it was so white.
Right.
It's not really aesthetic. So my good friend James over at Gretsch, who I've known for years, put this guitar in my hands for this run. And I just love it. It's a fantastic beast. I'm using this mainly for Slide, a song called Blood and Custard. And it's had quite a lot of abuse kind of already. You can see symbols and shit going on. But
yeah, yeah.
It's a...
Oh, that's
big.
Okay, so what's with the no D string?
Yeah, it's supposed to have a D string on it. Yeah. It's coming later. I don't know. With the shows have been getting pretty heavy, you know.
Yeah.
Really trying to deliver something kind of beyond what we're capable of. And as a kid, it's like that Hendrix thing. You sacrifice the thing you love. You know, when he was talking about the Strats that he'd, you know, set on fire and abused, and yeah. I'm British, and there's Pete Townsend, and
right.
So this guitar is already taking quite a lot of abuse, and I think there's some, I get a lot of messages saying, please stop doing that. So the nut, I managed to smash the nut off the guitar, and this tuning peg was smashed one night.
Okay. So this is not by design, this is just a...
No, it's just been thrown around, you know, it's been dragged across the walls and the pillars at Tipitina's in New Orleans, and it's... I don't know. It's got to live a pirate life, this thing. So.
Well, you know, I hearing you play it, I really don't miss the D string. Right?
You know, it was like, what are we going to do? Are we going to get another one? And I was like, no, I think it'll be all right. So it's in an open G tuning. So
yeah,
the D string, you can kind of get away with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's this beast. And yeah, for all the Gretsch lovers out there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gretsch have such a piece in rock and roll history that isn't spoken about. You know?
Right.
And I adore these guitars. They do something that nothing else can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely. Okay, I love it. So what else do we looking at?
I got two acoustics.
Tell me about this.
Okay, so we've got, you know, I played Resonators for years, and yeah. I played Nationals, and I love my Mule Resophonic yeah. guitars.
Oh, that was like the driving force of Iron Maiden, right?
Just loved it, yeah. Crazy 12 strings. And yeah. So some of that came when we were doing the record with Dave. We had a song called 10,000 More to Ride, and Dream Cellar Resonators came out, and it was like, okay, how am I going to replicate this on the road? Can I feasibly take out five guitars? This is getting pathetic now.
Yeah.
This is really overkill. But I took a punt. I found this on Reverb, and I could see that the neck had been reset, and I was like, I'm going to get it and take it out on the road. So the first day of rehearsals, I'd spoken to Curtis Novak, and I said, would one of your pickups fit if I taped it underneath the strings? So this is like a K pancake style pickup, you know, the harmony.
Really?
Yeah. And I just taped it on with electrical tape, and we put the jack socket in the airfoil, if you know what
Brilliant.
I mean.
So you didn't have to drill any holes?
No.
Because it's like a 30s.
This is a 1930s National Triolian.
Yeah.
So this is the Sister Rosetta style.
Sister Rosetta.
It's really a Rory Gallagher, you know.
Yeah.
People say the Triolians sound the best. And
yeah.
And we call this one mud and custard because it's the most disgusting color in
Oh, yeah. Play, Chris, I have a same era National.
Well, there you
and,
go.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, I've never put a pickup in, but now.
This is the way.
It's the way, yeah. The most jacked
I've tried
up.
Everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, so what I'll do is we'll get to pedals, but I'm using this Jam Pedals Dreamer that has a clean blend. So I'll use that with a bit of dirt, and then we grab this EQ pedal just to take out the low end to stop it feeding back, because we are playing this National through a pretty cranked 412
yeah.
and a Marshall, but... And then it can go, you know... Great.
God, that sounds great.
It's the best technique I've come up with, having spent decades with pickup systems and all this bullshit, you know.
I'm shocked. So, again, what kind of pickup is that?
It's a Curtis Novak pancake pickup.
And just,
like,
it has
like,
a
know,
low
like the,
enough...
In the silver tones, you have those diamonds.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's just one of those.
Yeah.
Just taped on.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it has a low enough profile that it fits.
It works. Yeah. And I haven't replaced the tape once.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
So, yeah, it's she's beautiful. It works, you know?
Yeah.
And you still get all that acoustic quality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you take the EQ off. It's too much, but with a small amp, that'd be great.
Oh, you know? God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway,
okay.
So that's that one.
Super cool. And, And you get this old
guy. Yeah, we've spoken a little on these. Jake can maybe say a bit more about these. Long story, we wrote the record on acoustic guitars, these two old 1920s parlor guitars. we couldn't take them on the road, these L00s. And it's great having a sort of bona fide rock star in the band that already had a relationship with Martin.
Yeah.
And it was mentioned in passing, we were looking for some parlors, you know, because this is like the quintessential American parlor acoustic instrument, right? This is like American music was sort of built on these guitars. And Martin said, well, hey, we'll do something interesting for you. So this is what they did. They came up with two sister guitars. They're both slightly different. Jake has one
too.
Love that. Got some, a little bit of bling going on.
Yeah.
And they just did some amazing stuff, you know. It's this, I saw, this is in a picture of an 1800s Martin. I saw this pick guard. I said, could you do that? And I said, yeah. And same with these inlays. These are from the 1800s Martin. And they were like, yeah, we'll do it.
God,
and,
that's great.
Yeah, and they relicked them up. And the story is they don't like to go through the finish at the Martin Custom Shop.
Yeah.
So they actually got Chris Martin himself to come down and
Alright. How great.
Jake's is a little more sort of fucked up than mine, but that's where it came from, yeah. So
That's great.
So they're kind of one of a kind.
It's still a family company.
It's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel very, very lucky, very blessed to have an instrument like this in our lives. And especially the two already sound different. Even though they're the same pieces of wood on the back, it's, you know, they sing differently already. It's fascinating how these things change. But
so how are you running this? You running through more of an acoustic
room? Yeah, I've got a little acoustic pedal board over here. And shout out to Line 6 and Mike. And this have a few sort of weird reverse delays and reverbs and effects and a little bit of slapback. But and that Fishman something DI. That deals with all the acoustic stuff over there.
Right. And
that's just for this guitar.
And when you need it, you get a straight ahead, great acoustic tone.
That's it.
With a little bit of weirdness if you want it.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, great.
So there we are. That's what we're cooking with.
So, okay, Chris, tell me about your amps. What's running back there?
Well, as my friend told me, it's the gentleman's choice of amplifier. I'm running a JTM 45, which, you know, growing up in the UK and England, listening to, you know, all those great iconoclastic sort of guitar players, this is the amp, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I've never played one.
Oh, really?
You don't see them in the wild in the UK much.
Really?
You saw like maybe the occasional JCM 800 or 900, but you never saw this stuff. So when this came around, it was trying to work out. The first tour, I was using a Fender, like big pro 15-inch thing. And I don't know, I just got into this and it was like, shit, that's it. So it's a crank JTM 45 and a spare. This one I've been using out here has 6L6s in it, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what that does.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So that's it. And greenbacks in the cab.
Great. Yeah. And you've got the redundancy backup just in case it explodes.
An air and a spare.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Belts and suspenders. Okay, cool. Well, that's very straight ahead. Uh-huh. And then on the ground, what do you got here?
Pretty organic sort of ingredients that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the first thing I should shout out to Vox. They've just sent these Vox wires out. We used, Dave had an original, whatever, Thomas Organ. No. What's the dude, the trumpeter?
I know who you're talking about.
Of those wires. And it was the best thing I ever heard in my entire life and ruined me.
Yeah.
But anyway, Vox had just sent us out some replicas of those, so we're going to try them out. But the first thing I go into is a Crybaby. This is the one that I saw Jeff Beck had on a rig rundown, so steal that.
Right. Oh, God, yeah.
So that's pretty simple. And then the main sort of heart of everything is, on the record, I used a dinosaural Cogmeister overdrive pedal. I used it for everything.
Huh.
I love it. It's a British thing. I've got it over there.
Never
it's awesome.
Even heard of it.
I'll show you later.
Okay,
it's the coolest pedal.
Good.
Shout out to those guys. But it's found with the 412. This is so much low end, right? Coming off. The other pedal I've been in love with is this Jam Pedals Double Dreamer, which just does everything. It's kind of Tube Screamer based. I don't like Tube Screamers, so I don't know why I like this.
Yeah.
But it's got two sides and a boost, and so with the Les Paul, for example, I can have a slightly cleaner sort of a, if I get it down to D here, slightly cleaner kind of drive sound. I say it's cleaner, it's not that clean. Does that thing.
Yeah. Chris, it's funny, man. Your idea of clean and mine are very, very
yeah, it doesn't
different.
Get that clean. Well, but I will ride the volume all night. So we'll get to about still not very clean.
Yeah, still,
I get it. Yeah.
I love it. I love it,
and
man.
And it gets worse from there. You know, you know what a lot of it was? It's like those British guitar tones. You know, like if you listen to them in isolation, from the Kinks to Barry, Mick Ronson, they're brutal.
Brutal.
So someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, so for example, that, and I'll pair it up with this Analog Man Beano Boost, which is again quintessentially British. So for some of that stuff, it's that. It's particularly nasty today.
Oh God! Yeah, that's scary sounds.
Yeah, it's scary sounds, right? You know, so that's kind of that. And then where things get really fruity is with the fuzz face as well.
So good.
Again, it's been
far too tame up till now.
But these are traditional ingredients, right? With a Marshall and a Les Paul. And so this is a fuzz face clone. It's the RCA Bart one, which I'm a huge Analog Man fan. It's just the best stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this is one of the best sun faces I've had, having bought and sold and trade alert. Quiet, silent. You hear that?
Oh yeah, nothing.
Silent, nothing. Yeah. You know. But it's, you know. Very clean, right?
Oh, yeah, that's great though.
But it's the thing. Yeah, it's the thing. Mean, so that's like the ejector seat button during the show. It's like, okay, you have to get over Jake.
Yeah, right.
That's it. I mean,
I love
send it.
It.
You know,
dimed both the controls all the way up.
Pretty much, but it does in a strange way clean up a little. You know.
Yeah. You know.
Sorry.
To me, it's a very kind of Clapton-y, you know.
It's the traditional ingredients, right?
Yeah.
I kind of feel we have to fight the good fight with everyone, silent stages and quiet amps.
Oh, God, I know.
It's not my remit. It's not what we're trying to do here. It has to be volume coming off the deck. You know, I play that. I use that stuff, the Helix stuff. It's amazing.
But yeah.
It's just not what we're doing here.
Yeah. Good for you.
You know?
Good for you. The last holdouts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The last death men on stage.
Yeah.
And then after that, we've got the EQ for the resonator, which I ignore now. Just a tuner.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite things on planet Earth. It's a Maxon Stereo Chorus, which I found in a pawn shop in Alabama.
Oh, how cool.
On the first run. And it's just cool as shit. It does this weird comb filtering thing. So if you have it super slow, but the delay time up, you go from something that's like that to this.
Yeah.
It's just like a weird kind of shifts it out.
Yeah.
I use that one, Feels Like Gold, and it stayed.
Oh, I love it.
It's cool. And then after that is the Space Echo, which has become, I have to tap dance all night on this thing, dancing around it. And
sure.
I have a slapback on most of the time. And then I have this kind of Binson.
Oh, cool.
Thing, which I use for a bunch.
Yeah.
A longer delay I don't really use. And then a really tight slap. Which I use a little.
Yeah.
And then it's got loads of tricks up its sleeve, like, you know. Subtle.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's fun. And then last but not least is the Golden Reverberator, the UA pedal.
Okay.
Which just has a little bit of room going. That's without it. That's with it.
Yeah.
It's a little loud tonight, and then a long reverb for some of the crazy stuff.
Sure.
And that's it.
God, that's great.
That's it. It's fun.
Yeah. So
really fun.
Yeah. Chris, this is great, man. I love what you guys are doing. This is like a good
Thanks
old rock and roll band.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, JTM 45s for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Well, I want to talk to your partner in crime about all this.
Good luck. See your ear plugs.
Yeah. I've got them. Yeah.
'Hey man,
so good to see you again.
Good to see you too. It's been a while.
It's been a while. The last time I saw you, you were playing that huge, what was it?
The First Bank Amphitheater.
Yeah. Your rig, God, it was like if Godzilla was a guitar tone, that would be it, because it was in stereo. And,
yeah, there was a lot of the stereo things going on initially there, wasn't there?
God, it was great.
Totally.
It was like that was the gold standard of huge arena rock.
Yeah, right? Tones. Yeah, it took some time to build, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting now, because now working with another guitar player, I bet you're kind of rethinking things.
Totally. Right? Yeah, the structure of everything has sort of been reformatted, and it's like, you know, I think with Greta and that rig, the sort of evolution of that was, you know, it was over a period of time. So
yeah.
There's a certain amount of, you know, development that took place over, you know, the years. But I think with this and Mirador, playing with another guitar player, it is in many ways, you know, starting at the beginning again.
Right.
And sort of... and reformatting everything. And I think, like, for me, it was, the question was gonna be, what guitars am I taking over, you know, from Greta, you know, to Mirador, and what wasn't I? What was gonna be new? Same with pedals and amps.
Right.
So
you've obviously, number one,
made the cut. Of course, yeah.
How could it not?
It had to.
Yeah.
A lot of the tracks, the number one gets used, obviously, for the majority of it, but, I think, you know, like Feels Like Gold and some of that stuff, it's pretty versatile between just being in standard tuning and like a, you know, drop D.
Right.
So between those two.
And that has, I mean, that voice, I mean, that's like, that is your voice. And it's got such an interesting like cut to it, you know?
Totally.
Yeah
there's definitely a specific style. And again, like, you know, I think it was going to be so much of like, you know, trying to bring something else in. And that to me, like it eventually just felt a bit too forced, you know, like I had to sort of bring myself to Mirador in that way. And so I think using, you know, number one, the beloved, it was kind of essential. It was, you know, it was course of least resistance. You know?
I
brought it anyway.
Yeah.
Totally.
Last time I saw the guitar, I think it had, kind of remember you had broken it and it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Totally. I had duct taped here.
Yes.
And here.
Yeah.
Crack repaired.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
I'm just waiting for that time again, you know?
Yeah.
It's inevitable. They always crack, you know? Those early, you know, Les Pauls, these, you know, SGs, obviously.
Yeah.
The Les Paul thing.
Yeah.
crack here and they crack sort of when the neck meets the body and behind this headstock. Typically, right. There's like your three spots, but yeah. Luckily I only had one.
Yeah, only one break. Right?
Yeah, totally.
When it's not like you have a lot of restraint when you play.
Totally. Yeah, that's true.
You're not really a timid guy.
That's true. Yeah. On stage.
On stage, right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, why don't you take me through this, you know, very modest pedal board? What do you got going on here?
So yeah, I think between again, like, you know, the Greta rig and this one, there are more differentials here than there are similarities. I think I've taken obviously the MXR phase pedal over. I've used that, but everything in the Pog as well, but everything else is kind of different.
Yeah.
So we've got obviously the Micro Pog. I don't use it often in the set, but it's there for variation.
When you need it.
When I need to get over top of Chris, I put it on. This golden UA reverb pedal is different. I think what I was looking for in this scenario, because in Greta I use a spring reverb.
Yeah.
And in this scenario, I wanted something like a room reverb. So that does that trick really quite well. In a way, it's like...
Yeah.
It's sort of a nice room sound.
Right.
This Delverb thing, it's interesting. There's definitely within the realm of two guitars, a sort of like structure between playing ambiently in some ways, which I don't do ever. Yeah. I've never really done that.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, you're incredibly, you're like right there driving it.
Totally. Yeah. So it's like the dynamics of that has been interesting because in one way I've been able to find like, you know, moving out of Chris's way or vice versa is being able to sort of utilize a bit of, like sort of a sonic sort of landscape.
Yeah.
And I think with the Delverb, it did that, it has this sort of like, it's a mixture between obviously delay and reverb, another UA pedal.
Yeah.
That's quite cool, but.
Oh yeah.
Kind of has that too,
Dreamy.
Yeah, totally. And so it's like that, obviously a guitar can sit above that.
Yeah.
And there's a bed. So I've used that for a lot of stuff. This El Capistan Strymon pedal is really cool. Playing with slap delay, I've always used it, maybe sparingly, 50%, I'll have it on some tracks and some not. But I've become so obsessed with it that I think with Mirador specifically, I just have that pedal on the entire time.
Oh, really?
It's just, so I have a slap on everything.
Yeah.
And I love doing it. Just adds another dimension, I think.
It's subtle, but it's, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all sort of like 50s stuff, too.
Yeah.
So I just love that, all that stuff.
It's that whole, that kind of...
Eddie Cochran.
Yeah, that Sun Records kind of vibe.
Totally.
Yeah, I love that.
So I've become, a bit more obsessed with that and obviously try to pull some of those 50s guitar players and tonalities into which are the shit.
Totally the shit.
So I've been doing that a lot. I've got, obviously... In Greta, there's the MXR boost pedal that I use, but I think it's a preamp booster, basically.
Yeah.
So with here, this is another interesting one because I brought that pedal in and I was sort of utilizing it. And I found that like with two guitars, again, it would boost the entire signal of the amplifier, but it wouldn't get past another guitar necessarily. So with the equalizer. I was able to boost the signal, but target specific frequencies.
Right.
So I can kind of like get past another guitar, you know, Chris's guitar. So
more about the cut. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so there's a bit more, you know, obviously more of that going on here. So that's quite cool, you know?
Man, it's so alive, right?
Totally. Yeah, it's just like beaming.
Yeah. So is that
sparkling?
I mean, so you're getting just the dirt from the amp and just, is that, there's no like overdrive pedal?
No overdrive pedal. So that's the thing, Chris uses the overdrive pedals, but I don't. It's never really, I don't know, it's never really been something that I've done, you know?
And, yeah. And
so this, again, he's sort of doing that. So my sort of role is to kind of just play, push the amp and and do that sort of thing. And so there's no fuzz pedals, just boost pedal.
And really that's like as dirty as you need to get, man.
Totally. Yeah I'm with you.
So what amps are you running?
So we've got a Park and a Supro. I'll let Johnny take you through that a little bit.
Okay.
But those are cool. In combination, again, I don't use either Greta, you know, I've used a Storio combo amp and a Bletchley. Here it's a Park and a Supro, which totally different, which is interesting, you know, different sound.
So when Mirador is opening for Greta, do you use the same rig on both, with both bands?
For that one, I was still figuring it out.
Yeah.
It was a different rig though.
Okay.
Which is quite strange. So it was like going from, you know, the Mirador set.
Yeah.
To the Greta set and playing completely different guitars and amps. And
a whole different, whole sound.
It was a mind trip, man, because it was like sort of playing like one role.
Yeah.
Which felt very different. And then switching.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, an hour later playing a headlining set in a totally different mentality, you know?
Right.
That was pretty crazy.
God, I bet after the show every night, you were just wiped out.
Oh, totally.
That would be exhausted.
Yeah, it was quite intense. Yeah.
God.
A lot of ferocity going on in that.
Yeah, two shows, two bands, one man.
Yeah, exactly. If there were only more of it, John.
Yeah, right.
If there were only more of it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still working on the clone.
Exactly, Yeah,
okay,
that's cool.
That's great. Yeah, so totally minimal pedal board.
Yeah, the Dunlop Wah.
Yeah, Dunlop Wah and a tuner.
Totally.
Oh.
And that's it. Okay. And I can demonstrate some of the riffs and things.
Yes, I'd love to see it. Do you want to show another guitar as well?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
This guy's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I love that you went with the familiar sideways weird whammy bar.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Okay, tell me about this thing.
Well, this guy is interesting. This is the Junior Les Paul double cutaway. Somewhat built, but it's a late 50s, all of these parts.
Oh, really?
Pretty much, yeah, everything, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
And obviously the early 60s sideways trem sort of situation, which is... Yeah, so, it's classic.
So the body is a 50s standard?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was double it routed for humbuckers when you got it or
no. Wow. It wasn't. So I had this rerouted for PAFs.
Good for
which
you.
Which is in
man.
Similar in some ways similar. Again, like this another guitar that sort of really only lives within the scope of Mirador, you know, because it was trying to find something that could do a lot of the slide playing.
Yeah.
I sort of ended up on this, and in some ways, you know, just the structure of this body and the neck, and this is a bit different than like, you know, those early 60s, you know, SGs, Les Pauls that I'm used to, but in some ways that there's just a bit more resonance and it works for slide better, I think. So
oh, yeah.
That's kind of what we landed on, but yeah, it's cool old black one.
Oh, God, I love it,
man. Which, you know, doesn't get cooler than that.
And it looks like it was painted with a rattle can.
Yeah, right? Yeah, like, totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Okay, let's hear this thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
God, I bet when you and Chris are in full flight, it is so loud on stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God.
You're hearing it now, aren't you? Like,
yeah, right, right.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
We have a battlefield up here.
So yeah.
Oh. Dodging things.
Okay, does the sideways whammy give you any issues?
Absolutely. 100%. I don't even touch it.
Yeah.
It's just there for pure aesthetics.
Yeah, mission accomplished. It looks great.
The visual appeal.
Yeah.
That's the one thing, man. You know, it's like, I don't know. The one thing is, like, I think with the idea with this was going to be actually creating a, you know, suspending the bridge in some ways, which...
It's part of the sound, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
It just gives a bit more sustain to some of the slide playing and stuff as well, which, you know, I think that's probably the only practical usage of this on this particular guitar.
Or maybe there's some like weird overtone magic you get
from
it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Totally.
There definitely is
something going on for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I like using it. You know, it's like whatever that thing is, it's doing it. It's influencing some of the tonal characteristics of the guitar. Which,
and by playing that, you're extending the life of your number one, which...
Exactly.
Which, you're, God.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's been sanded down. Probably the last time you saw it, it was a bit more of that guitar.
It was thicker.
There. Yeah, exactly.
It was thicker
then. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it'll be matchsticks in another 40 years.
Exactly. That'll be it. Yeah. A box of toothpicks.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So okay, man. I love that. What? Totally. What else you carrying?
This is another strange concoction. If it's.
I would expect nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one thing on this guitar, I think, obviously, this is an early 60s Les Paul SG style. It's a custom shop. So it's a, you know, remake.
Yeah.
But I really... So again, like the sideways trem bar that we were just talking about, doesn't work at all.
No. Terrible design, cool looking.
Very cool looking, totally. So I needed something that, you know, a classic Bigsby that could... Yeah. You know, do the trick.
Yeah.
And obviously there's some other, you know, whammy bar designs that are cool and have been put on SGs. But I wanted to try and get a Bigsby on one. We've seen the Bigsby on the SGs, but they're mounted here. They're not not the extended tailpiece.
Right, right.
And I think it was like, the idea was, I liked how these looked. And again, the connection point of putting something like this on and like holding it back here, there's different types of resonance.
Yeah.
And I like the sideways trem, you know, whammy bar doing that.
Yeah. Thing.
So they were able to mount this for me, and they had to pull some tricks out to make it work. But ultimately, we're able to get it eventually here. So it's quite a cool thing. And I, again, use this within the context of Mirador. I don't use it in Greta, but... It's for very specific alternative tunings during the set.
Yeah. Show me what some of the, like, in context, how you use it.
Yeah, totally. We'll be right back. sort of thing. It's strange tuning. It's capo 2 and drop D on both.
Oh, wow.
It's strange, but yeah, that's what the song called for.
You know, what I love about the guitar is like it's so evenly balanced. The bottom strings are and the top strings are like the same volume.
Yeah.
You know, which doesn't always
totally
happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. And I'm not sure why, but
works.
Yeah. Totally. So yeah, definitely. A lot of extended soloing and stuff on this as well.
Oh, I bet.
Which is cool. And again, PAFs.
Yeah. So, oh, really? So those are proper PAFs?
Yeah. Yeah. So I prefer that.
But are you just like, when you're touring, are you always looking for stuff?
Yeah.
Or is it just kind of find you?
That's a little bit of both. I've typically found that the guitars find me.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Lucky.
Yeah.
Works for me. But yeah. And so I think all of these things and other guitars that we were playing in the context of Mirador, they kind of found their way in, and it was like, okay, well, you know, the usage of them, they each became quite clear pretty immediately. Like,
sure.
Like the double cutaway, that was, you know, the Junior Les Paul, that was going to be the slide guitar that I would be using in Mirador. And this, for, you know, many reasons, the alternative tunings and the guitar that I use on Skyway Drifter live as well. Totally.
So, how cool.
Yeah.
So when it's Mirador and Greta, how many guitars were you carrying?
That's a good question.
What was poor Johnny? Johnny? Poor Johnny.
I mean, wow, man, we might have had, well, I think we're carrying six guitars on this.
Yeah.
And how many did we carry on Greta? 13. No. So 13 plus 7, you do the math.
So like a well-stocked music store.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we were a traveling music store. Of mostly vintage instruments.
Yeah, right.
Madness.
Yeah, that is mad. Good for you, though, man. Yeah. I love it.
Someone's got to do it, John.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. So, and you guys have just come off a long run.
Yeah, North America.
And what's next?
So, I think next is going to be a Europe run coming up as well. And that'll be the first time that Mirador's played in Europe, so that'll be cool.
Oh, yeah.
And given that, you know, 3/4 of the band are English, it'll be cool to sort of go and play in their home territory.
Yeah.
Because we've sort of done it in mine.
You know? Yeah, right.
So that'll be quite interesting.
And then you just kind of schedule around Greta and
yeah, and Ida Bay and some of the parameters of Mirador as the project is, you know, every time something else isn't happening, it's like Mirador's sort of going in a direction. And there's a good sort of, there's an amount of like, you know, kinship and sort of chemistry between, you know, in this particular group, you know, that there's so much material and so many things that, you know, we're already working on, you know, the next thing, the next project for Mirador, yeah.
Yeah, man, good for you, man. I mean, life really is just one big art project, so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And again, it was one of those strange things. I know you and I were talking about it, but it wasn't necessarily intentional, you know.
Right.
Mirador just sort of happened.
It
was like, but I suppose all of the best things do that way, you know?
Yeah.
They find you.
They find you. Yeah. Well, Jake, I know you guys got a sound check and then another big show, so I don't want to take any more of your time, but man, grateful, so good seeing you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank
Congrats,
you.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, man.
Mirador, check him out. Okay, now I'm with Johnny Meyer, who's Jake's tech, not only on Greta, but also handling everything at Mirador.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, tell me about, this is the sister to the other Martin, right?
Right. This is the 00012F, and they had these made for Mirador specifically. It's got the, you know, Mirador logo.
Love
in
that.
In that there. And
do you know what pickup is in these?
It is an LR Bags Anthem.
Okay. And what strings are you running on acoustics and electrics?
On this, it's Martin Retro String. And on the electrics, we have Jake's Dunlop custom made strings that are coated.
And do you know what Chris is using? What strings?
Chris is using Elixirs.
Okay. So coated, not...
And coated.
And coated.
Yeah, non-coated on this acoustic on Greta. we don't use coated either as well on those acoustic strings.
Yeah. And tell me about this. Is it a 355?
355, 1964, oh, 355. Wow. And so this is used in Greta for the song Archer. On Mirador, we use it for Ashes to Earth.
Oh, wow.
And it's, it's an open E tuning on that, and it's sounds killer.
Oh, I bet. So, and it's originally stereo. Has it been converted over, or are you?
No, it's stock.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, how cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's great. And, okay, amp-wise, what's going on here?
We got a Supro 1932R, right?
Ooh, cool.
It's the Royale, right? And yeah. Then we have a Park P50M. And this is new going on with this tour.
Okay.
And then
you're running both amps?
Yes, correct. And then an old Marshall cabinet.
So when you're running both the amps, is it like a stereo rig, or
no? We're just both going, blending them to get his tone.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. God, they sound killer. I'm amazed he can get all that kind of grit, no pedals, just straight
right.
in,
yeah.
and a little boost to
a little boost
over the top. Yeah.
Yep.
That's great. Well, you've got your hands full on this.
I imagine. Yeah, it's been a good run.
Yeah, that's great. And off to Europe, right?
Off to Europe, couple great. Weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So Mirador, check these guys out. They're coming to you, Europe.